Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Super excited to be here with you this morning, Wednesday, May 22nd. It happens to be one of the last days of school out there, so many parents are preparing for the beginning of summer, and certainly that has a lot of effect out here on the restaurant business, right? Our slow season is starting to hit us over here. You're going to notice traffic. It's going to lighten up as you work your way across town, and as well, other things are starting to pop up. If you notice in the last couple of days, election season, which means signs on the corner season, is here for us as well too. Like mushrooms, they have all popped up suddenly overnight on the 20th of May. If you wonder why that is, there happens to be a state law that says that you cannot put out signs before 71 days of an upcoming election. Time happens to be July 30th, with those ballots getting mailed out on July 3rd, as you've heard from a number of political candidates that we've had here on Jump in Tucson in the mornings. And as such, the 20th of May is the first day that election signs can pop up. You've got to give Democrat Party a lot of credit right now, though. They are leading the pack in corner signs in terms of quantity, and in some cases, quality. It looks like Heather Lappin has the largest signs out there right now. Virtual billboards stretching like the limit of what sign law could be. But beyond that, it's looking like a lot of Democrat signs out there. So, local Republican Party, where are you guys at? As well, Grant Road widening announced that this is going to go on until basically summer of 2026. Now, I feel like this project has been going on for a lot longer than that, quite frankly. But it's going to have really substantive changes as people look to avoid Grant Road and the traffic for a long period of time. And I think we're going to see a substantive benefit after this, however. You can already look at the corners of Grant and Tucson and what Culinary Dropout and what Snooze and what Postino brought to that corner where you've got Grant and Tucson looking pretty snazzy. And it happens to be just right down the street from Grant and Alvernon, a corner that, of course, has drawn a lot of ire here locally in Tucson. Myself, being a Grant, I am rooting for Grant Road. I know the Chuck Huckleberry Loop isn't looking so good these days, and I'm hoping that my namesake road, Grant Road, will in fact rebound like a phoenix from the ashes, rising to bring us some awfully great new hospitality venues. That being said, there are some additional closures starting to pop up around town, just as we predicted last week, as we get to the predictable end of season here. First and foremost, the landmark news that Casa Molina, located on Speedway and Wilmot, is slated for the wrecking ball, right? This 8,200 square foot restaurant had a fire back in April of 2022 and has been closed ever since. Now, those that pay attention to this show and to Tucson talk about how difficult it is to set up a business in Pima County or Tucson, Arizona. And Casa Molina happens to really be a victim of that one as well, too. Because when the fire department and the health department went through that restaurant, they noticed an awful lot of problems and are basically asking them to rebuild the entirety of the restaurant's hood, electrical and plumbing systems, bringing it all up to 2024 code. And for a building built in 1947, that's not exactly a small feat. And so, while it's said that it is not 100% certain that they're going to knock this restaurant down, you're not exactly applying for a demo permit just for the heck of it from the city of Tucson. And if I was a betting man, I'm saying Casa Molina on Speedway is coming down, and we're most likely going to lose that famous statue of the Matador and the Bull that happens to be one of my favorite pieces in Tucson. When you think of local Tucson artifacts out there on the side of the road, these odd curiosities, right? I think of the lumberjack over on Stone and Glen. I think of the dinosaur McDonald's, right, at Tanga Verde and Wilmot over there. I think of the homeless encampments that are at First and Fort Lowell behind the old Chinese place. Things that have been there so long that they just become parts of the norm for Tucson over here. And so I'm really sad to see that Bull go away over on Speedway. As well, Monsoon's Tap and Grill, located at 6781 Thornydale, has announced their closure as of Saturday, May 20th. Very unfortunate news for the Northwest side. I'm always rooting for Marana. They're that group that, as we talked about, their Chamber of Commerce has a local restaurant recruitment task force. The Chamber of Commerce, Amanda Wiggins, is a great person, always out there looking, trying to find and develop local business. And it breaks my heart to hear of a local establishment closing down, particularly in Marana, where they're actively looking for more and more restaurants like this one. And so I do shed a tear for those guys over there. They did make it 10 years, which is a pretty good run in the hospitality business in any economy, but particularly in Tucson, Arizona. As we talked about last week as well, too, Red Lobster, the chain, filed for bankruptcy officially this Sunday night, potentially shutting down up to 550 non-locally owned restaurants. Where will you get your Cheddar Bay biscuits out there? All very good questions. I don't know, but it shows how difficult this industry can be when units of this size and scope could potentially shut down hundreds and hundreds of stores, and they're blaming a mistake on an all-you-can-eat shrimp special that they put out last year, causing over $11 million of losses for the chain, who has grossly underestimated the gluttony of us Americans and our ability to eat all-you-can-have shrimp. As well, on the final restaurant news of today in your Foods for Thought, the Copal restaurant should be opening up any day now, and the location that formerly housed the Dutch, that is at 5340 East Broadway. That location used to have both the Dutch and, before that, Pita Jungle, for those who are keeping score at home. They are blaming delays from the government in liquor licensing as holding up their opening right now. But any day now, they're expecting word from the state government to open up Copal. Again, this is the Bohan family, great people. They operate La Esquina down on South 6th Avenue, a wonderful taco establishment, and we're looking forward to them getting open as well in Copal on Broadway Road any day now. And finally, last bit of restaurant news for you for the day. Up in the state government in Phoenix, the Senate could be voting today on SCR 1040. That happens to be the Tipped Worker Protection Act, an attempt from the restaurant industry, servers, bartenders, managers, restaurant operators alike, to prevent an up to $18 an hour minimum wage from making its way into our state government's budget, or excuse me, our state government's laws, which would be possibly the Grim Reaper for the service industry. I happened to spend the last few days at the National Restaurants Association show in Chicago, and it was stunning to see the number of robots and tablets and AI out there absolutely looking to replace our workforce. So we're going to get a vote on that, and we may come back and have a little show about tips if that one happens to pass today. Fingers crossed. So when we come back after the break, though, I've got a special guest for you, someone that has grown up in the restaurant industry, opening up a store soon in St. Philip's Plaza. This is going to be my wife, Katerina Kruger, coming up after the break on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. Thank you for spending your morning commute with us on Jump in Tucson. Yesterday, we had the pleasure of having Ted Maxwell and Edmund Marquez on the show. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton with Mike Satterfield, Hellas Briscoe, global leader in hotel site selection, which will be an interesting discussion about hopefully some new awesome hotels coming up here in Tucson. But today, we're going to talk about a little success story on Jump in Tucson for small business. I've got somebody that's kind of personal and close to me over here, right across in the KVOI studios, my wife, Katerina Kruger. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning, Grant. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Very excited to have you on the show today. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. Give us a little bit of background for your listeners about yourself. You're a Greek immigrant, actually born in Corinth, Greece.
I was not raised in Greece. However, I didn't come to the U.S. until I was about 6 or 7 years old. I do consider Tucson home. I've been here about 25 years, but yes, 100% Greek, and both my parents and my brother was raised there.
So the Greek community is often known for working in the hospitality industry, and your parents owned a number of notable restaurant operations here in Tucson as well. Can you talk about that, growing up in the restaurant business, and what that meant for you?
So that stereotype is there for a reason. I'm not sure why Greeks want to get into the restaurant business and work 7 days a week, but my family was one of those lucky ones. When we came to America, my dad was actually a painter by trade, and how they got into the restaurant business was a little bit of a mistake in the early 90s, and they stayed there for 30 years. So bunch of mom and pops, a bunch of different ones even here in Tucson, and I was raised in that industry, and you know, ended up marrying someone in the restaurant industry, so I can't exactly get away from it, but it's actually a beautiful story where I came from. So
A couple of years ago in the plaza, we had Texas Senator Ted Cruz out there stumping for Eli Crane. And remember, we had a conversation with Ted, and he said, Grant, everybody in some capacity should have to work in the hospitality industry in some bit. What sort of life skill sets did you pick up working in your parents' restaurants that have contributed to your personal development and success today?
Well, perhaps relatively unhealthy work ethic. I work all the time. I'm not sure we were really given a choice because back then, you know, there was no nannies. We didn't really have play dates or Pinterest birthday parties and Disneyland trips, kind of like we try to give our kids today. We were picked up from school and we went to the restaurants every single day. My parents worked 7 days a week, holidays and all that. But perhaps as a kid, you may have wished your parents were regular working parents, right? 9 to 5. We weren't that appreciative. But as you got older, and we started to be able to bring our friends around, we have so many core memories of, you know, playing at the restaurants, seeing my parents work really hard, engaging with customers. These customers saw us kids grow up in the restaurant business, which was really special, you know, in those decades. And not to mention, I appreciate my parents so much for what they did coming to America as immigrants without knowing the language, you know, picking an industry that is so difficult with licensing and sanitation and food and liquor licenses and all these kinds of things. It was not an easy business. And they made it work. I mean, we were middle class, lower middle class, blue collar family, and the kids were just always with our parents. And so as we got a little bit older, you know, my brother was the one that was the pizza dough expert, and I was the one serving sodas to customers on roller skates, you know. So it started little by little, and then before you knew it, you know, you're in high school and our parents have curfews on us. And it was like, well, you can't go anywhere with your friends unless you get us through the rush. So every night it was get me through the rush. So ultimately, I look back at it as a positive thing. I work, I'm no stranger to work. I work all the time. But I also appreciate my parents for teaching us such great core values, great work ethic, and keeping us safe. You know, we were off the streets and with our family all the time. So
without a doubt, those core values are really, really important. And something that I think that a lot of people lack if they don't have that entrepreneurship side of responsibility being taught to them by their parents. Give us an example of a couple of the restaurants that your parents owned locally here in Tucson. Perhaps some of our listeners know those names.
Sure. So they had a couple, a handful of mom and pops, but probably the most notable was Donato's on Prince and Campbell. They were there about 20 years. It was a little Italian sit-down pizza pasta shop, really well known for their pizza. My parents' pizza recipe is out of this world. And later, they actually ended up, so that ended up being the first Guadalajara Grill back then, okay, when we moved out. And they later opened Jim's Greek Patio, which was a fabulous, a colorful little house down by the U of A that was selling Greek gyros. Ironically, my parents always did pizza and Italian food really well. So that was their first Greek shop. And that did really great. And towards the end, they had taken over the Papulis in the Tucson Mall, which was already an existing concept, but I would say Donato's was around for about 20 years.
That's a pretty good run, as we've talked about in the restaurant business over here. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson. My lovely guest across the studio from me happens to be my wife this morning, Katarina Kruger, coming from a noted restaurant family over here. And Katarina is going to be opening up a boutique in St. Philip's Plaza this week. And that's one of the things that we're going to discuss today, right? St. Philip's Plaza was in its prime when I started working in the plaza in the mid-1990s, was sort of the be-all, end-all of North Central Foothills Tucson shopping. Well before La Encantada was even a twinkle in Vestar's eyes, St. Philip's Plaza housed some of the best restaurants and some of the best retail establishments. But by the time we had the opportunity to move in as Union Public House in 2010, 2011, a lot of that retail was on the decline. The mall had opened up in La Encantada at that point, aping some of the bigger retailers, and some of those retailers were a little bit tired and not with the times in St. Philip's Plaza. What's giving you the strength and the optimism right now to open up a store inside of the plaza and go for brick and mortar retail?
That's a great question, Grant. I I don't have the little girl dream of wanting to open a fashion boutique like many probably did. I do have a background in fashion. I did have an online brand for about 5 years that did really well. And when I started that, I kind of rode the wave of e-commerce growing, online shopping growing, and we did really great. I learned everything I, you know, had to learn, and I'm continuing to learn every single day. But this particular space, I've always been asked by these old veterans you're talking about, these retail owners that have moved out. And the most recent one was a gal that had actually predated, I think, the landlord. She had boutiques there for over 40 years. And every time she was closing one, she would call me and ask if I was interested. And I really wasn't interested. And then the second one, she'd call me. And then the very last one, when she retired, mind you, at 82 years old, she was in there over 40 years, which is amazing, an amazing run, and an amazing human being too, from Limited Editions, Margaret. She had called me and asked if I wanted the space. And of course, I went over there, and she needed some help liquidating some of her stuff and closing out. And so this is like 5,000 square feet. This is huge and beautiful and amazing. And I kind of put it out of my mind, not that I'm a risk taker, but the seed was planted a little bit. A few months later, so I said no on that. A few months later, she called me and said, hey, you know, another veteran there in the St. Phillips Plaza is actually leaving, and it would be a great space for a boutique. He's looking for another space to move. And ultimately, that's the space I ended up taking. It's a corner cap over there by Proof, the entryway into the St. Phillips Plaza. And as soon as that opened up, I started thinking about it. I thought it was a little crazy. But I called Margaret and I said, Margaret, if you were my age, would you do this now? How do you think brick and mortars are doing in fashion right now? And she says, if I was your age and I had to do it all over again, I would open 10 of them. So I said, oh my gosh, okay. So that gave me a little bit of push. And I also ran it by, you know, my parents. There's a Greek family for you and core values where 40 years old, I talked to my mom about that 5,000 square foot. And she says, you have to be out of your mind. Don't even think about it. And then I ran by the small space. I took her down there and she told me, I think it's perfect. And I think those two little things gave me the drive and inspiration to go for it. So
that's awesome. A Greek mom out there is a pretty important driving influence. Those that haven't experienced a Greek mother-in-law, there's a lot of talking with your hands and sometimes a lot of yelling as well, too.
She's one of a kind. You can say that for sure, right, Grant?
Without a doubt. I can attest to that one out there, my listeners. So it is a big entrepreneurial risk, of course, to open up a business anytime in any economy, but particularly coming up this year, right? 2024 has been filled with an awful lot of gloom and doom news. We're talking a lot of inflation. We're talking rises in cost of goods sold. We're talking expensive, expensive labor, expensive rent. Like all these things, you know, give a lot of people pause about opening up their own store or their own business. And quite frankly, this is also an election year. Something that often hurts the restaurant industry as well, too, is that uncertainty. No matter which side of the table you're sitting at politically, that uncertainty often causes people to reduce their discretionary spending. And so when we come back after the break, we're going to break down a little bit more about the construction process, that risk-reward relationship of what it takes to open up your own business in Tucson, in Pima County, to have your own shop, coming from someone that's both done it across the table from here, and my wife, Katarina, and myself as well, too. It's a fascinating discussion coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Grant Krueger, Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump In Tucson with your host, Grant Krueger. I am live with Katarina Krueger, my lovely wife, across the studio here in me in KVOI studio. We are talking the new store that she's going to open up, Shop Cleo. Katarina comes from a long line of entrepreneurial Greek family, and she's been telling us a little bit about that history. Kat, let's go back to this talk about online businesses versus brick and mortar.
Yeah, so I started an online boutique. I knew absolutely nothing about the industry. But I saw this huge increase and just flux of e-commerce businesses, probably 2016, 17-ish, and I was watching, and I'm always learning, I'm always reading. And I decided to go for it back then with a partner, and we learned a lot. E-commerce, online sales, even with things you would never in a million years thought you would ever order a pair of Nike Air Maxes online, right? You're always going to go to a shoe store. You want to try on all the different ones. But now everyone is moving towards online. So we rode that wave. Social media was big. Live shows were big. Instagram, of course, you know, later some of these video apps as well. And you're starting to see that maybe as a consumer, you think that fashion in general or retail in general is changing. Malls are changing, malls are closing, perhaps big box stores, but it's really just a pivot. I think that, of course, with inflation, you got wage increases, you have a huge 40,000 square foot store times 500 across the United States or globally. It's starting to get really expensive, right? To be able to operate this. And people are, you know, these owners and CEOs are pivoting to e-commerce and really pushing out coupons and getting you on their email list, right? And sending you to their website or Instagram. And so I, as an owner and as a consumer, I see a pivot in elevated fashion, basically what I'm doing. Brick and mortar is absolutely thriving since COVID right now. It's growing, getting bigger. People are opening stores. I think the changes are more in the big box stores. But what I learned and the pros and cons of when I was in the industry before is you have to have both. You're going to have the shopper that doesn't want to come in store. And you're going to have the shopper that wants that relationship with you and wants to try on jeans. And other people are comfortable just ordering everything online. And being able to cater to both sides of that, I feel like, is what gives you the greatest success in this business, which is why I feel good about it.
So are you planning then to have Shop Clio as both an e-commerce website and a brick and mortar location as well too?
Yes. So there will be a website. Forgive me, with the grand opening coming in a couple days. The website is still being built furiously and fast. It should be up in a couple weeks, but both aspects will be available, yes.
And what's going to be that website? What's the URL address for our listeners out there?
ShopClio.com, K-L-I-O.
Perfect.
Yep. Easy peasy. And Instagram has a period, shop.clio, but the website's just shopclio.com.
So what we're really talking about here, Kat, is balance, right? And I think that ties even into the hospitality industry, that on some level you get worried that this high labor cost is going to turn us into a world of iPads taking our orders, robots spitting out our cappuccino or our Negroni. But people also want a human touch to things, right? You want to be able to see, touch, and feel perhaps the garments that are available in Shop Clio in the same way that you do want to interact with human beings, which is one of the reasons that we also go to sit down restaurants as opposed to pushing a button and just having Uber Eats, Postmates, DoorDash, or Grubhub deliver to you as well too. What sort of tactile look and feel is Shop Clio going to have?
Well, We are going to leave everything as a surprise for the grand opening as far as the fashion pieces. So you got to come in person to see that. But we are, you know, really catering to just the modern woman. Of course, we have the university influence here in Tucson, so we're catering to that as well. And I've never had a storefront before, so I'm really excited to get out there and have those customer relationships and take the time to really feel and understand what it is that the customer wants. At the end of the day, you know, the ultimate boss in every single business is your customer, right? So it might take a little bit of time for me to really figure out, just like I have in my previous businesses, what it is the customer wants. But either way, if the customer doesn't want to come into the store, they can still order online. They can still watch fun videos on Instagram, or they can come and hang out with me in store, and it'll be like a little girl party over there. It'll be great.
So building this store, Katarina, has been quite a process, right? There was an existing retailer in there. It was previously Mark Bhatti Indian Arts.
Yes.
That store hadn't been improved in probably three decades or so. So walking into it was sort of like walking into grandma's house with doilies and the old furniture needing quite a remodel. Can you tell us a bit about that remodel and the challenges associated with that?
I've never taken on such a big project. And like any construction project, it's a domino effect, right? You fix one thing and then you got to fix everything behind it. So this project literally got taken down to the studs. excuse me, there's a new HVAC, new electrical, new doors, new windows. I mean, we cut the walls out. Everything is virtually brand new, which is amazing because I had a clean slate. But, you know, with that comes challenges. I've been dealing with this project since probably October. Construction, I believe, started before Christmas. Correct me if I'm wrong, Grant. I think that beginning of December.
That's about accurate. So you're looking at about a 6-month construction process, and that's for retail, right? This isn't even a restaurant construction with the complexities of the additional plumbing and type 1 Ansel hoods and all of that. I mean, we've got a city of Tucson that it takes 90 days just to make a sign around here. And in 6 months, you got this entire place improved over here in Shop Clio in St. Phillips Plaza.
Yeah, I mean, I've really just had the last maybe couple of weeks to move in and get this thing kind of built out for the store to open. The guys did really great work. I think the most frustrating part of every construction project is, okay, well, when can I order stuff? When can I start? When can I move in? When can I this? When can I that? And there's no answer. It's like, well, maybe March. Well, maybe April. And so having those open timelines like that has been really frustrating because I'm ordering huge countertops. I'm ordering big display pieces and all this. You know, for instance, one huge challenge is my checkout counter is too big to fit into any hole to get into this place. So it had to be dismantled and moved in there with a team of guys. So you don't think about these kinds of things because you have to just tackle the crisis as it shows up. But we're making it through. I think probably the biggest challenge now that I knew I was going to be on the radio show today and I announced the grand opening this weekend, the next 72 hours are going to be crazy and I'm running into massive problems and deadlines and things not being ready. So we'll pull it off. I thrive under chaos and pressure and all will be good.
No, it's certainly a difficult challenge in what we call trade stacking, right? When you get close to the finish of that project, every tradesman is waiting on the additional tradesman to complete. So the electrician can't finish until the AC guy finishes his overhead work above, but he can't finish until the flooring guy finishes his floors and the epoxy grout over here. And that guy, has anyone seen him around the last 2 days? I don't know where he is. And suddenly the entire train gets backed up. And that caboose, which is your opening, of course, ends up getting pushed further and further and further behind. In fact, I can attest that we are storing an awful lot of women's clothing in both our personal home and warehouses throughout the city. And if you don't see or hear from me in St. Phillips Plaza this week, it is because I have died under a sea of bralettes or other women's clothing which have crushed me in an avalanche. In the same way that this is a dangerous time to be climbing Mount Everest this time of year, it is dangerous to open any closet door or garage door in our current home right now.
Better clothing than pizza dough, Grant, so you're okay.
Why, thank you. That's very kind. Again, you're listening to Grant Kruger and my wife, Katarina Kruger. She's opening up a shop called Shop Clio in the St. Phillips Plaza. That opening is going to be this Saturday, right, Kat?
This Saturday, Sunday, 4 to 9 both days. You know, I did it that way just because it falls in line with Gigi and the Glow, which is an amazing band down at the St. Phillips Plaza. She's playing this Saturday night, very popular. Just a great vibe down there. Obviously, my hours are not going to be normally until 9 o'clock in the future, but I figured I'd, you know, kind of reap the benefit on that as far as staying out late with you guys. So 4 to 9, first 20 people to show up on both days will get a freeloaded swag bag full of goodies, which that'll be super exciting. And we'll have some refreshments and goodies there. So it'll be a really great time and I'll be there the whole time. And then after the grand opening, Memorial Day is Monday and we resume normal on Tuesday.
Sounds like a great plan. Obviously, Memorial Day is a tough day to open up a restaurant or a business in any way, shape, or form in Tucson. An awful lot of family travel as people do hit the highways making their way to whether it be Rocky Point, the White Mountains, right, Coronado Island, and those sort of things. But if you happen to be in town this week, it's going to be a great opportunity to come check out and support a local business. We do happen to know a few restaurants in that neck of the woods, too, where you might be able to stop and get a cold adult beverage. We've got one more segment with Katarina coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening to 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. Thanks for sharing your morning commute with us over here on Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are live with the final segment with my wife and co-pilot here in all things we call life, Katarina Kruger. Welcome back, Kat.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
So Katerina is opening up a store called Shop Clio in the St. Philip's Plaza. It'll be the first new retail location coming up in some time. I do understand that there's negotiations right now with Free People Movement. For those that don't know, that's the athleisure line of Free People to potentially open up in the plaza as well, too. And it's kind of an interesting resurgence of retail. When I moved back into St. Phil's Plaza in 2010, Dr. Robert Selby, the landlord, and myself kind of came up with a game plan to modernize the shopping center and to move it away a bit from high-end women's retail and into high-end women's services. Things you can't buy on Amazon, things you can't buy on the internet, right? Restaurants, entertainment. There's a Botox bar. You still can't quite do that one on the internet, right? There's a waxing studio. There's multiple high-end fitness concepts. There happens to be a Pilates studio, an F45 gym. In fact, next week I've got the owners of both F45 and Vitality Bowls, the new restaurant concept coming. They are now, I think, the largest franchisor of F45 in the United States and have a food service concept, and that's Christian and Wendy. They'll be on next week on Jump in Tucson. So we've got a lot of experiential things, and we're really just starting to pivot, as you said, to move back to retail. Things that you can touch and feel. What else can we expect out of Shop Clio? Like, what kind of clothes are going to be there?
You go back to bringing a really unique experience. The store is going to be like nothing Tucson has ever seen before. The whole vibe is just going to be an experience. I am bringing in a lot of labels that are zip code protected that can only be at my store. I am designing a lot of, about half of it is my own designs through Shop Clio label. I'm bringing in a ton of denim, which I think Tucson is really lacking as far as having a huge variety to choose from. And of course, all the various, you know, extra little things within that. So I've worked really hard to try to curate a really unique brand. On top of that, I also feel like Tucson is really missing. For years, I always have girlfriends that have a guest come into town and they say, where can they buy a gift? Where can we buy a gift for them? Where can we get a really cool birthday gift for a friend? Or she wants to buy something from Tucson and bring it back. And I feel... And I'm always saying, like, I don't know, the airport, like, I go downtown, maybe there's some really cute shops on 4th Avenue that have really unique stuff. I'm not sure. So I really kind of am going to grow into having some unique things that are very, very unique, just in general to Arizona and in Tucson as well. So I'm going to work really hard to curate a really great collection for that. But there's going to be a little bit for everyone. There's going to be basics. There's going to be the working professional, higher end luxury. There's going to be your basics and casual, a ton of denim, and just a ton of fun stuff in between. So it's going to be great.
No, I'm really looking forward for this opening to come over here. For those that don't know, Kat happens to be also my life partner and business partner in the Maverick King of Clubs at Grant and Tanga Verde area as well, too. We've got about 5 years under our belts in experience on nightclub ownership, buying that bar together right before COVID, of course, as well, too, which is pretty much the perfect timing to pick up a nightclub, you know, just a few months before a massive shutdown. And I feel if you can survive that one, you can survive just about anything over here.
That was a tough time. And we made it through. I feel like we can make it through anything. So
I do too. I'm really excited for Shop Clio to come up over here. But I did have a couple questions. Like, give me the rundown of what does the name Shop Clio mean? Like, where K-L-I-O, where is this coming from?
Well, I got to give you a little credit for that also, Grant. I did have a list of names, a huge list. And I was going through, I was cutting them down. And I wanted some Greek influence, at least because it's a Euro-inspired boutique. But when you think of Greek, you think of white buildings with blue windows and black cats walking in front of it and tons of food, right? And ocean, and which is a beautiful stereotype and very, very true. But I can't exactly build Corinthian columns in front of my boutique, nor am I trying to. So I was trying to, you know, bring some kind of influence. And I was going through different mythological characters. And Clio is actually the muse, one of Zeus's daughters, and she's a muse of history. And she's not your typical fashion queen. She's not Athena, Medusa, you know, any of these other ones that you commonly hear about, but she is typically holding a scroll or holding a book. And her biggest thing with Cleo is that she basically professes proclamation and starting a new chapter. And I just thought that was absolutely perfect, appropriate, obviously a major life change going back into fashion. And when I was narrowing it down, my husband here, Grant, actually said, you know what? I love that. And, you know, that little support was what kind of pushed me into going, you know what? I do too.
Well, it's very helpful to have family support in entrepreneurship, right? You're often sailing into uncharted seas, unknown areas over there. Talk a little bit more about your family's role in helping you with this business over here. We've got a young son, Yano, that's helping out with this business.
So my son, Yano, you know, kids are a little, I'm not sure he'd be okay with tossing pizza dough 7 days a week like I was. We're cut from a little different cloth for sure, but I still try to bring my little boy ever since he was little everywhere with me. So he's worked in warehouses, he's been in the big fashion warehouses, he's been, you know, to Maverick manager meetings, and you know, I try to recreate that for him as well. And actually he stayed with me last night at the new store with a friend, and they were there playing virtual reality and running across stuff and spilling drinks, and that's what kids do. And and they just, at the end of the night, they said, this is awesome. So I go, wow, okay. So he still thinks his mom is pretty cool. He's almost 9. And you know, I hope that he can see how hard I work, and someday he can get that work ethic passed down just like my parents passed on to me. So
I think that's a really great story over here, and great work ethic that your parents have passed down to you on this. A lot of life skills.
Absolutely.
That we learn from people like your parents that have spent their entire lives working in the service industry. And perhaps that's one of the reasons that you and I clicked over here as well, too, is that connection in the service industry, right? You've got to be able to put up with my hospitality shenanigans when I say I'm coming home at 9 p.m. and it turns into midnight. That does not necessarily mean we're out there imbibing in adult beverages, but instead it's the hot water heater broke, or the dishwasher didn't show up, or quite frankly, any of the other disasters that just commonly occur in the restaurant business. Any chance that we ever do a Greek restaurant, you think, out there, my Greek immigrant?
Oh, well, you know, that might be all you, but I can help influence that as much as possible. So,
thank you. I appreciate
that.
And
I think your in-laws would be happy to chime into that one, too.
They might have a recipe or two to help out over here. Perhaps some breaking news out there in the restaurant business in Southern Arizona, if I could get that assistance from the Scalise family out there, well-known restaurateurs. Hey, a big thanks to all our listeners out there for hanging with us this morning on Jump In Tucson. A big thanks to my wife, Katarina Kruger. Please go check out Shop Cleo in the St. Phillips Plaza. That's 4330 North Campbell Avenue, basically the southeast corner of River and Campbell, right across from the Proof Restaurant. ShopCleo.com. What's the Instagram, sweetheart?
It's shop.cleo, K-L-I-O. Follow us on Instagram. I am updating over there. And like I said, the website is not up. However, you can subscribe. Please subscribe your website, and I will send out a message letting you know when it's up and running. Excited to see you guys this weekend.
Thanks so much. That's shopcleo.com. We've got Tom Moulton coming up tomorrow on Jump in Tucson with Mike Satterfield, global leader in hotel site selection. It has been a wonderful morning to spend this commute with you. Thanks for listening to Jump in Tucson. I am Grant Kruger, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.